This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, Rob Ray with Shope and the Bulldog. Rob Ray's appearance on WGR is brought to you by Jim's Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. By Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by Steve Foley Law, settle for more today. Settle for more with Steve Foley. Call 249-2222.
Welcome back. Joining us now on the West Her Hotline from Tampa, where it's the Sabres and Lightning tonight, Rob Ray. Hello, Rob Ray.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Great.
Pretty good.
I'm great.
A little hungry.
I'm better than pretty good. I'm great.
I'm hungry, too. I'm looking, sitting here outside with RJ, we're looking at Burns Steakhouse straight across the road.
Mm-hmm.
And they just started to spark it up for the day, so it's all that smell's coming out. It's like, oh.
You going in, Rob?
I don't know if I got time to go to that.
Should we keep it short so you can get in there and get some steak?
Well, if you could, if you don't mind.
Then you're coming home tonight.
Yes, we are coming home tonight.
So we talked.
Unfortunately.
You like it. You're having fun down there.
I'm kind of getting accustomed to it now. You know, the little slower pace of life, the heat. The heat got me the first day or so, but now I've kind of acclimated to it.
Well, you burned your head the first day, right? Isn't that what happened? You got bad sunburn?
No, it's not burn. It's just a little extra sun.
You're settling into it, the whole scene down there.
My blood pressure.
Wow. All right.
What part? You're in Florida in the off season too, and you talked about how you had a trip scheduled at the All-Star break that fell through. What part of Florida is your favorite?
I actually like the Tampa area here, but we go down to Anna Marie Island. And it's kind of, you go down from Tampa through St. Pete's and on out, and it's out along the coast. It's beautiful. And it's quiet. It's really quiet.
There's
no hustle bustle. There's no traffic. It's nice.
Is that a couple hours south of you?
Yeah, about an hour and a half. I could be there from Tampa.
All right. That's an area I have no experience with. Southwest Florida. None.
Well, let's go.
Let's go. I'll be there Saturday. I'll be in Orlando Saturday. You'll be here, though.
You guys are just going to miss each other.
Yeah.
So did you guys hit the dog track today? Was that yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday. Big day.
big?
Rolling in it.
$20?
Down 18.
Tough
and
beat.
I was really conservative, you know, doing my thing, went in with a plan, and then I got sucked in. And I got sucked in not because of my own. It was because of the guys I with. They started going, oh, well, you know, because I won a couple races. It got a little bit of a pot. And they're like, well, what's the sense of just going up to $2 at a time? You've got to, you know, to do this, you got to jump and be more aggressive. And no. I didn't want to be. And then all of a sudden it was like, yeah, okay. Well, maybe they're right. So the second I decided to get aggressive, when the second the bank account just took a big hit.
Yeah.
And I walked away, you know, not happy.
For those who were not with us on Tuesday, your plan, I think, consisted of watching which dogs peed before the race?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I found out not only the pee, when they go take to the second stage, it's even better.
Second stage.
Okay. And so
that makes sense. You want to lighten the load a little bit.
Did you implement this?
It's funny because you got these guys bring out the dogs and they walk them down the side of the track and it's grass there. And some don't bother, some stop and pee, and then some stop and do number two, and then that's the really light dog you want to get going.
You see the betting line just change, fluctuate wildly as the handicappers are watching the dogs go to the bathroom.
Right.
Yeah, we sat up top where you know, you could look down on the track, and you've seen all these guys that were down in the down along the track outside. They'd all run up when the dogs came out. and then they'd see them when they pass by, and then there'd be about 20 of them just run to the back and go put their bets in, and then away you go, and then you'd see the board change like crazy.
Wow.
You need like poop cam or something to like keep track of that.
You know, again, we've got a story about you gambling, and you know the result is in this case an $18 loss. And I respect like that you're solid in this area, but if I'm in this setting, the only two outcomes I want are to win big or lose big. Like, that's it. Everything else is, then it's like it didn't happen. If I am on a trip and we're all going to the track, man, the least that will happen is that on the last race there's going to be a big bet. This does not really, it's not always happen when Bulldog and I are broadcasting from Batavia Downs.
Right, no.
But if I'm at Gulfstream, that's what's going to happen, Rob. Good, for better or worse.
Yeah, well, that could be a little bit of a problem as well.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
I'm not, you know, it just could be.
There is a,
I mean, it is, it
I will,
could be.
I will tell you a quick story of a time where this happened. And it was at a dog track. It's the only time I've ever been to see the Greyhounds. And it was in Wichita. It was 20 years ago when I was broadcasting for the Buffalo Blizzard. Remember the Buffalo Blizzard, Rob?
Yeah.
So I was their broadcaster, and there was a team in indoor soccer. There's a team in Wichita, Wichita Wings. So one of the guys on the team was my closest friend on the team, Doug Miller. He and I, he was my style when it came to this stuff. Like, let's go to the dog track. It's like -5 degrees out. It's super cold. And of course, I think of course in this case, some Tuesday night, Wichita, Kansas, bitterly cold winter night, no one's there. There might have been 20 people there. And you're in this old clubhouse, you know, you're in clothes, and just like, I just felt so terrible about the whole thing. The animals, everybody's like, oh, this is so sad. But at the end of it, I'm going to have a result. So we put like some bet in on the last race, and there was a dog that was like 99-1. I don't even know how the odds work, but there's probably so few people betting on these races that, I mean, that's what I found out ultimately, because we won that bet and we went outside. It was the last race. It's so cold. We got to go outside for the last race. So we're out there in the paddock, whatever, like we're outside running up and down, and we realize we won. This is going to be awesome. We made a big bet, and it was 99-1. I can't imagine. This is going to be five figures. It was like $30. There was so little action on the race that just, I don't know what happened, but that's how much it was, and that was the end.
Well.
Wichita.
Yeah.
That's it is odd, but it's unfortunate, too. Yeah. But it is a good lesson.
I guess.
You know?
All right.
I don't know if it's a good lesson. It's a good story.
It's okay.
I don't know about it being a good lesson.
It's okay. All right, let's get to work here, Rob. So,
all right, what's wrong?
Yesterday, Jason Botterill spoke, and we talked about that a lot yesterday, and it's continued today. I think to Bulldog, right, we think he sounded somewhat complacent about this season, seemed to us and to Paul, who was there, perhaps taken aback by a question about his coach's future, and he referred to things about being in games and progress over last year. I think there probably are a lot of fans, Rob, it sounds like there are, who think that this is like a really low standard for the Sabres. And so what I'm wondering is, of course, your opinion on that, and also maybe if we would be, in your opinion, misreading Botterill.
I think that he has a really good handle on what is going on here, and I think he keeps his cards pretty close to his chest, and he doesn't, you know, kind of, you know, maybe let out what he's thinking. He's not going to let out what he thinks about individual players or anything like that. I would think that Jason, just from his track history, he is one that he can take the time and figure things out, and there's a good possibility that he's going to get it figured out. I think that right now, you have to kind of go with that because of his track history. You know, he's proven that he can do it. I think as far as his coach, when he comes out and says, you know, that he's safe, I believe that too, because ownership did come out a while back and say that we're not going to be jumping from coach to coach to coach when things don't work. We're going to figure it out and go from there. It's not going to always be the coach's fault. And I like that part because where we looked the other day, since we made the playoffs, we've had five different coaches since the last time we were in the playoffs. So it's doing no good just jumping from guy to guy. You want them to get established, but a lot has to do with by putting the proper players in front of him so he can work with. And I think that's still in progress right now for Jason Botro in that case.
Do you think that a part of his supporting the coach is to make sure that this group of players knows that, considering what happened with Bylsma, like if it's right that this group of players, Jack specifically, was disenchanted with Bylsma, and so that didn't end well for Bylsma, that Botro wants to make sure these guys know, hey, look, dig in, okay, figure it out, because this guy is going to be your coach.
Well, when you do it once and you do it again, and that just sends a message to the player that, you know, they're in control, and that's the last thing you want. You want to make sure that, you know, if by the general manager coming out and supporting the coach and saying that he's in a good position, then that turns the pressure onto the players, because they know right there that everything that's happening is not being blamed on him and you know, questions asked about him. It's the players themselves. And I think that's kind of a good way of pushing it back on the guys and sending a message to them that, hey, it's not going to be easy as it was last time, that we're just going to step in, remove the coach, and say, okay, guys, here you go again. Here's another chance. You know, now it's up to you. It's up to you to make changes here. And the coaching staff is not the ones that do it. They put the game plan down. If they don't follow it, what are you going to do? Your hands are tied. We've talked about it a million times. So it's up to the player. And I think by doing that, it puts the onus on the player now, and they're going to have to deal with it. So, because if you do, you change it again right now, you're just playing into that, and it just becomes a vicious cycle, and you're never going to get out of it until you exchange all the players that you have in the group now.
Do you think there's an element here? I mean, yesterday, Rob, there was a lot of anger and a lot of emotion in the room and on the show. And this was one thing that was said. Is there an element here where the Sabres would want to get across to Jack Eichel, the captain and the $10 million a year centerpiece of this franchise, that no, we're not firing another coach for you? And I'm not implying by that he has an issue with Housley, because I don't know anything about that. I just think like the optics of that with what happened with Bylsma having happened would reflect a certain way on him. So the Sabres may not want that for him.
Absolutely, because you that just comes back to saying, hey, last time there was a little bit of an issue, I guess, and so you stepped in, and you know, you have the benefit of the doubt because you have this player or players, and you know, and it doesn't work again. So like I say, you don't keep playing into that, because the more you do it, then the more they're going to try to use that as an excuse as you move forward. But you know, there's a lot of onus put on Jack here himself too. I don't like talking about contract side, but I'm talking captain side and being a leader of this group and being somebody that has the capabilities of taking over games and dictating how the play is going to be and dictating how the team itself is going to play. I think it's all part of him understanding and learning how to be that person as well. Never really being in it at this level, or never being in it at this level, he's learning how to go and how to deal with a lot of this stuff as well as we go on. So, but it's something where that learning process has got to be sped up, and so he can start being the difference and making the difference. So, yeah, a lot of it was just added onto his shoulders, and he's going to have to figure it out. Not saying that he's not doing his job, just saying that he's got a lot of pressure on him here moving forward, and he's got a lot of responsibility. And the sooner he can understand how to deal with it all and put it all together and get his guys working, because they're his guys, then, you know, that's the better off they're going to be. If it doesn't, then he's going to take some heat.
Yeah, I mean, there absolutely is a lot of pressure that goes along with, you know, you're the franchise player, you're making $10 million a year now, you're the captain, and, you know, this is year four, and it's the production is great. This year especially, he's been healthy except for those three games he missed, and he's producing. He's, you know, if he goes from here to the end like he has, he's going to end up with just a fantastic season. But there's more than that. Like you have to drag a franchise to winning at some point or another. Like that, whether that's fair or not, like that is going to be something that's carrying around, he's carrying around until it's delivered.
Well, and he signed up for it, and he knew exactly what it was going to be, and he was a guy that wanted that. He wanted the extra vote like that. He wanted to be the leader of this team. So, and that's awesome. That's awesome when somebody steps and wants. Now you have to take it to that next level and not only learn yourself how to do it, but teach guys as you're going and make sure everybody's on the same page and you don't fracture a room. And so, yeah, there's more to it than just wearing the C around and looking good and, you know, talking to people. It's got a lot of pressure. And I don't think everybody realizes that until you get it on your shoulder and move forward. That's why this has to be a special person that's wearing that C or the A's, because that's how vital it comes. And everybody just thinks, oh, it's a token thing. It's not. That's why you got to be so careful who it goes to. You got to make sure those three guys, whoever they are on your team, are doing things right. They're teaching the kids right. Everything about it, because it can mess things up so quick if you don't have that right person.
Rob Ray with us from Tampa. I know we talk almost before almost every game, but I'd just like to get your perspective on the season overall here for a moment, Rob. Like, how surprised are you that this season turned downward as it did and where they're at now compared with what we thought might happen, you know, a couple of months ago?
Very, very surprised, because even, you know, the win streak, was one thing, and they got, you know, there was some games that you probably shouldn't have won, whatever. But you would have thought you would have gained enough confidence from that and enough understanding of how hard it is to win games and, you know, that whole thing to carry it forward to just kind of dwindle away. It's hard to understand and hard to believe, too, because you do have a very good group of players. These guys are very skilled. They can play with anybody. And they showed it night to night. You know, they beat Tampa Bay once this year. You know, they beat Calgary. The big teams they play well against, but they're just not able to maintain that level of, I don't know, level of detail play or whatever you want to call it, you know, from night to night. So that's the hard part, because you know that it's there. You see night after night that it is there, and then when it just disappears for nights and guys are just making horrendous mistakes, you really got a question.
How about tonight? Anything new tonight? Allmark is going in again.
Allmark's going in tonight. They haven't decided yet for the defensive core. He's saying it's going to be game time decision. That's it.
What are people saying, like, on the Sabres or just that you're interacting with about Tampa Bay's season?
Well, they believe that they can beat them. They believe because, you know, they're all sitting there going, hey, we did it once and blah, blah, blah. But Jack talked this morning. He said it's easy to get for these kind of games because if you don't, they're going to blow you out of the water. So they have a good understanding of how good this team is and what it's going to take to compete against them. So that's nice that, you know, they're knowing that and understanding it, and then they're going to hopefully be prepared for it. So
I guess you want everything here. You want them to be up for games like this, but you also want them to be up for games like Florida and New Jersey.
Right.
And that part has been lacking. I mean, it's great that they want to take on this challenge, but come on. You know, like what were the last two or three? Okay.
Well, Rob, you got this game tonight, obviously. Then there's a Saturday afternoon game. We won't talk to you before that. And then it's the trade deadline, and we'll have you Monday because it's a game day on Monday. You guys will be in Toronto. I know you love going to Toronto. Anything leading up to it? Because by the time we talk to you on Monday, the deadline will have passed. What do you expect? Do you have any expectations, any inklings about something that might happen between now and Monday?
No, I just think that, you know, the position of their income, you know, as soon as you roll out of this weekend, or, you know, this trip even, you're obviously going to know. You're going to know now where you stand and what your chances are. And I think it'd just be a matter of looking at it and seeing, and you know, some of what you have, whether it's, you know, young guys or some guys that have been around looking to move on, such as a Bowie. I just expect that's the kind of stuff that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to be anything breathtaking, because I think if that's going to happen, it's going to be in the summer. But, you know, I think it's just let them play it out and see what happens here. And if you can move some of the guys that, you know, are, like I said, at the end of their deals or at that point where it is time to move on, then fine. But I don't think anything too earth-shattering.
Okay. Any questions for us today, Rob?
Nope, coming home tonight. Hopefully it's all good.
All right.
Could be windy.
Heading to Ellicottville in the morning. I get home tonight, and my wife told me it had to be in Ellicottville by 8 o'clock to go skiing tomorrow.
Tomorrow's a skiing day for you. Very nice.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Family ski day. They're there now, and I have to be there tomorrow morning, I'm told.
Wow. Okay. Back to reality.
Wow.
Yeah.
In this case, skiing.
You don't go right there from the airport, do you?
No, I go home and...
All right.
Sleep for 4 hours.
All right. Yeah, and then go.
Well, good luck with all that and enjoy it,
of course.
Guys. All right.
No, bye, Rob. Thank you for caring.
safe travels. All right. There's Rob Ray, his appearance here on WGR, brought to you by Jim's Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. By Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by Steve Foley Law, settle for more today. Settle for more with Steve Foley. Call 249-2222.
My sister is flying to Tampa tomorrow to run. She's into running, like you were.
All right. Good for her.
She's going to Tampa. She was in Florida last week for vacation, and then Friday, tomorrow, is going back to run in a race.
Like a half marathon or a marathon or what?
Probably a half.
Yeah, it's got to be something. I don't think you fly to Tampa for a 5K.
For a 5K? That you just sort of wait to the St. Patrick's Day parade?
Right. You just wait till
the Shamrock?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Race? Yeah it's got to be a little bigger than that.
All right, good.
Good for her.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get back to how we were the first hour. Like, phone lines are open for you guys today at 803-0550. Want to open up on the Sabres, whether... You know, no matter what. I mean, everything is being hashed out right now. So, go for it. We'll have tonight's game, of course, 6:30 pregame, Sabres and Lightning. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
You know, Jason, Randy, and Steve Greeley, the three of us, talk all the time about, you know, what's our predictions for each player. So there's a lot of hard decisions and a lot of talks between all of us. And I think, you know, guys like C.J. Smith, you know, he's done that very well he's trying to prove himself. There's guys like Olsen, Asplund, O'Regan, you know, Nylander, Malone, Cornell, Gooley, Morgan. You know, you look at all those players I just talked about, and they're all players that, you know, can make a big impact in the future for the Buffalo Sabres.
Rochester Americans coach Chris Taylor right there.
They're in first place.
Oh, yeah?
No. Won again last night.
All right, good. Got nothing against them.
Yeah. Nylander, I saw today on Twitter, was back at practice. He's been out sometime. He had an unfortunate collision or two at a practice last week, I think. So he's been out for a little bit of time. Wasn't thought to be real serious, and he was back in a regular practice jersey at practice today with the Amherst. So perhaps his return is imminent as well.
All right. Had a lot of fun going to Rochester games when I lived there, especially early. Like, Rob was on the team. 92, 93. It was new to me. I never even thought about the Amherst once growing up here. Never even thought about them. Then went to school there, and there they were. Like, great.
Yep. It's been a long time since I went to a game there.
Same building.
Yep.
In our conversation with Rob, came up, he brought it up. The Sabres have had five coaches since their last playoff game, starting with Lindy Ruff.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me where all five of them are?
Lindy is still on the bench with the Rangers. We know that. They were just here.
Yes, and my eyes were just... drawn to him a lot that night, just looking at him over. They just look strange as an assistant.
Ralston was the man who followed Ruff in the job, and this just came up. I know he's involved with some youth hockey projects here locally with New Edge Hockey, which is John Cristiano. At least he's a part of that. He used to work for the Sabres back when Ruff and Regeer and Ralston were all there. I think Ralston still has a job with the Coyotes organization.
He doesn't anymore. He is the associate head coach at Providence College.
This is the exact conversation we had 2 weeks ago.
Providence College.
Yeah.
Associate head coach.
Yeah, okay.
How about Ted Nolan?
I know this one.
Go ahead.
He is the head coach of the Polish national ice hockey team.
If you look at Wikipedia, it says that 2017, he is the Polish national team head coach. It has not been updated. In fact, neither has Ralston's. Neither is too specific. Because in Nolan's case, it says they'll compete in a tournament in 2018, which would have already happened. Doesn't have on Ralston's page that he's at Providence.
Poland's ice hockey Wikipedia page, it does list Ted Nolan as head coach.
Okay.
All right.
And Dan Bylsma?
Dan Bylsma is at... Wait. He was at NHL Network. Doesn't he have a... Didn't he get... He's on somebody's bench. Where'd he go? Oh, I know this. Detroit?
Yes. I did not know that. I'd forgotten that, yeah. If I ever knew it.
Oh, okay.
Detroit assistant.
All right. He's from Michigan.
I believe he is from Michigan.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Where's Darcy?
I was going to say nothing for the former GM.
I don't know. I don't know.
Darcy was with the Coyotes.
Right. I don't know that. I don't think he's still there. And, you know, for that matter, any sign of Tim Murray?
I don't know.
I've not heard anything about Tim Murray.
I heard one rumor about him and only one. And I'm trying to think about the last time I heard anything about Regeer. It isn't anything I would even want to share. Like, it isn't just anything. Could just be some rumor. I won't share the Murray one either. Maybe I have said it, but I'm just not sure it's right.
All right.
Yeah, Regeer left the Coyotes for personal reasons in 2016.
All right.
Speaking of the Coyotes, Rick Tocchet?
Yeah?
Isn't it? Isn't he the coach there?
Okay, sure. Yeah.
I think I've been thinking a lot of the last couple of days. I haven't said it, but again, like, that's a question that never got answered here.
Yeah, what happened to him? Why was he not really even interviewed?
Yep. We had like a best guess, an expert's guess, collectively, which was, it's just a guess, but it was that ownership ruled him out.
Right. He had
because he has a record.
He had stuff. There's gambling. Yeah. Yeah.
But it could be that. That could be it. I don't know of a better, a likelier possibility. Because the insider guys were always, they were talking about him. He was mentioned as a candidate here. It was the Penguins and the Predators, and Housley was on the Predators bench,
right.
And Tocchet was on the Penguins bench.
Uh-huh.
So, like, neither guy was available all the way through the finals. And Tocchet, in that period of time, was reported to be a candidate here. I never knew of a report on why he no longer was one, but at a certain point, he just wasn't, and Housley was hired. And when Botterill introduced Housley, or right around there, he gave a vague answer to one question about Tocchet. And as far as I know, that's the only thing that's ever been asked. Like, what happened there? I don't know. But like, it would make sense to me if it were the guess.
Mm-hmm. Yes, me too. Me too.
I guess I've assumed that, but I don't know of the Sabres or Botterill ever, like, explaining that.
No.
Because the insider guys know. Like, if they're telling you he's a candidate, then he's a candidate. Like, he's either Botterill's idea, or he's, like, it would be weird if he were ownership's idea, and then that was the reason why he wasn't interviewed or whatever.
All of a sudden, yeah, right.
So I don't know the answer to that, but I've always wondered.
For almost 2 years, but yeah,
since it happened.
Yeah, I kind of forgot that's how that all shook out. Yeah.
Yep. Ottawa is, let's talk a little bit more NHL here for a minute. Ottawa is going to trade a couple of their best players, it appears. Duchesne is the big one, he and Mark Stone. Duchesne is not playing for them in these games before the deadline.
Right, they have a game tonight. I had it open here. They're on the road. I forget where they're playing.
Whatever,
it doesn't matter. New Jersey, they're in New Jersey.
Whoever they'll be playing will be the same.
Right.
So that is kind of like out in the open now, isn't it, in the league? And the Rangers coach said today about his top guys, he said, unless I'm told differently, they're in.
Right. So that sort of leaves open the possibility that the manager could call down and say, hey, don't play Hayes.
And then the Rangers called up two forwards.
Okay. Wow. Interesting.
So, like, this is, like, there's been a little bit of a crack here in this particular area.
Yeah.
where teams, I don't want to say brazen necessarily. I don't know how brazen it is. It's smart, I guess.
Protecting yourself, yeah.
But they are, like, Ottawa's not putting Duchesne on the ice and running the risk of his getting hurt and there not being a trade for him.
Fine. I mean, there are some teams here that might be more interesting than others to think about for this. Like, Ottawa is far gone. So are the Rangers, for that matter. Philadelphia's tied with Buffalo. I don't know. Like, I don't like their chances of making it any more than I like Buffalo's chances, just given the logjam. But Wayne Simmonds is someone who's been of interest all year long. And if they view themselves in a race, they're in Montreal tonight, then, like, that's a little more interesting. You know, like, to me, Ottawa, it's really all too easy for Ottawa to go, look, we're going to trade you. We don't need you tearing your knee tonight and then leaving as a free agent in July. So sit down. Philadelphia, if they think they're in a race, they might. It's a little more complicated, I think, for them.
They might, but they shouldn't.
Probably.
Their odds are bad, and they should be sellers. If they can get a good return for him. But I wouldn't want... I don't know. Like, I think this is just like, it's not necessarily, like, it's not something everybody should agree with necessarily, but I would want to have no conversations about any pick after the second round for sure, maybe after the first round. Like, that's just of no use to me. And this is another one of these analytics things or data things, because you've got, you can look up easily what percentage of guys picked third round and on that make the league. I don't know the number right now.
It's slim.
It's low.
Yeah.
So the chances of your third round pick, like here, LA got a third for Carl Hagelin, and they're going to pay half his salary. I guess that's the best they could do. Mm-hmm. Guy's got a ring. Like, he's a useful player, but that's the best they could do. What is it? What's that value for LA? Like, it's a little bit, but you've got a scouting department. You've got an operation, and your operation doesn't stop at the first round. It's scouting guys all over the world.
That's right. That's right.
And, you know, you have that, and you pay for that, so you'd want to have that be worth something. I don't know. Why do I need third-round picks in the NHL? What, do I want to replenish my American League team or my East Coast League team? And, you know, we have them, so we'll use them. And off chance, somebody develops and makes the league.
Right, or you want them because it's a chance for you to demonstrate the worth of the entire operation. Like, if you pick, who's the kid? Laaksonen is the Finnish defenseman the Sabres may have chosen, I think, in the third round last year. And nobody knew who he was. Like, he was not on any lists. It was like, they chose who? He's how big? What? He weighs 130 pounds. Like, what? What is happening? What did they do? And he's on the Finnish World Junior team, and Corey Pronman projects him to be, like, he should be a nice player. He's Lawrence Pilot, maybe, or better. So you want to be able to say, maybe to your ownership, this is why we pay all these people.
Well, it's
for the guy that you hit on out of the one out of every 10 that you pick.
Okay, right. And you won't have hit on him until you've hit on him.
Right.
It's not just where you're at now. And that's good for you if you're putting out resumes as a scouting guy or even as a GM. It's good for you when that happens. But remember, it's not just make the league, because there are 30 other teams. And, like, so the Sabres drafted Cal Peterson, too. And maybe he was all that. He wasn't a high pick.
No.
And, like, he was good, and he just said no to you. And you can do that in reverse. You can take somebody else's guy, you know, and guys get cut all the time, or you claim them off waivers all the time, and then you don't really need to have those players be your own draft picks. I mean, it's not just for posterity that they exist. It's just the tradition, and I don't know if anybody, like, even how seriously teams even sort of look at it. We've got these picks. We'll use them. They'll always tell you how valuable they are, and you never know. But really, like, if a team wanted all my picks after the first round for their first rounder, I would make that trade, almost no matter who the team is. I'll give you all my, you know, again, this is like an owner's move, because GMs are usually scouts and players, and they're just like, this would be antithetical to, like, their being, right? Just the, what? I think for most guys. But, like, the owner could go, look, Hey, Jason, I mean, what's the value of all that, really? Can we get another first-round pick?
Right.
I know the scouts won't have anything to do. We'll have less to do, but that's okay. Right is right.
I wonder if you'd find someone to actually do that with you, though. Because I think with all this being said, I think they would know the hit rates, and they would know there's a reason why first-round picks are as valuable as they are. So I think you might have a hard time, despite the fact that they want to support the system that their livelihood is dependent on, scouting and drafting these players in rounds 2 through 7. They also, I don't think, would take a bunch of 2 through 7 picks in exchange for the 18th pick in the draft.
I wonder. And back to what you said before, you find a GM who's young or maybe someone who might be on the way out. Like, look how good this could look on you if you hit one of these. I'm going to give you double the later round picks to improve your chances. You're going to give me your first because that's the offer. 803-0550, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Sabres pregame at 6:30 on WGR.
All right, let's hook up caller 5 right now with a pair of tickets to Breaking Benjamin. The show will be Sunday, August 4th at Darien Lake Amphitheater. Probably going to be nice that day.
August 4th?
August 4th.
It's pretty nice right now.
Yeah, that's right.
It's cold.
Yeah.
Windy. Sunny. That's all I'm saying. It's sunny.
Minimum value of this prize is $60, courtesy of Live Nation. General contest rules apply. Tickets go on sale to the general public tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. at livenation.com. for this show, but you can win a pair again right now. 644-9878, caller 5. Breaking Benjamin. Get you some.
Joe tweeted a thing earlier that he thought would rankle fans, and then he tweeted a picture of Lindy and Darcy. Was that the thing?
No, that was last night. Oh, no, the thing I think will rankle fans is coming tomorrow. Maybe it's overselling it.
Well, there's no penalty for that here.
I gotta wait till tomorrow now?
Yeah.
You
damn. No, the Darcy-Lindy thing was just kind of a joke last night. That riled people up, though. I'll say that. It worked.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
They have not had a better season since Ruff and Regeer were here working together. That would be the 2011-12 season. We were talking yesterday about a lot of things. Brad Boy's name came up. Brad Boy's, we think, is their last ever, or to this point, their last trade deadline acquisition as a buyer that they made in 2011. So like this 8 years ago.
Right.
Don't know of a, can't think of a player the Sabres acquired, you know, as a quote buyer since then. Boys also has their last playoff goal in that seventh game right at the very end. We compared it with the Sabatka goal in Florida.
That's right.
Like just, okay, thanks, really?
Right.
Right at the end of that series in Philadelphia.
And he was not a rental.
Another year of him.
He was here for the following year, too. Yeah,
right.
That's right.
Yeah, he was for the 11 playoffs,
right,
which they barely made. And then the next year he was on the team that missed. That team was close.
Right. They pushed late again. They had a real hot stretch. Got into a spot on a weeknight game in Washington. They beat the Capitals and got in a spot, and then from there, they I don't know how bad it was, but they lost the spot. They couldn't hold it.
Yep. Well, we'd like in a month to be able to say that the Sabres are still in it, right?
Yeah. And
that's kind of where we're at now. What do you think of all this, fans? You want to open up about it? 803-0550 is our number. We'll do some more of that ourselves here as we go closer to pregame, 6:30 tonight, Sabres and Lightning. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. This is WGR.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.